Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is Wednesday morning, October the 24th, 2007. Chris Simpson is the speaker of this service, teaching on obedience in an area bring authority in a realm. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And went off in the oil business in Houston. Now, if you know anything about the oil business in the early 80s, that was where you didn't want to be. But that's where I was. I got in the oil business selling production platforms. My daddy, both of my brothers, were all civil engineers in the oil business. And the oil business was going great guns in Houston in the early 80s. And then Ronald Reagan decided to declare war on the Soviet Union economically. And he just, did you all know Ronald Reagan won the Cold War? Y'all knew that, right? Ronald Reagan, don't believe the liberal press. Ronald Reagan won the Cold War. And you know how he won it? He strangled them economically. That's what he did. And he did it through oil. And it was a deal, basically, with the Saudis. They just depressed the oil price way down. That's what he did. He squeezed them. And the Soviets went, enough, enough. That's what broke up. Fundamentally, it was a war of finances. And they broke the Soviet Union through depressing the oil barrel. And it worked. I mean, it worked. By the way, the Berlin Wall fell in 89 and the Soviet Union broke up. We defeated them. They couldn't outpace our economy, our technology, all of this kind of thing. Well, I happened to be in the oil business when the oil barrel was going down. Well, everybody I knew was getting laid off. My company, it was just a devastating thing in Houston in the early 80s. And so I had a buddy of mine who happened to be working for a company called Control Data with these things called computers. Now, this is 1984, okay? And he said, will you come over and run this little summer camp off of I-10 freeway in Houston just for 3 months to help these high school kids get their GEDs on these touchscreen computers? And this is long before PCs. Computers you hauled on a dolly, okay, called minis. So I set up this little summer camp, and what's interesting is the kids were learning GED through touchscreen, and I actually got on, while they were doing it, on a little computer hooked to a phone line and got on something called ARPANET. Oh, that I'd known what I was doing. But I was on the ARPANET and communicating to other universities. You know what I was on? Or the early internet. I was actually communicating to other universities. It was a little line playing games, you know, with a little mouse. I had fun doing it. I had no idea what I was looking at. This is the beginning of the internet. Anyway, I finished that summer and 3 months, and we made this government grant. We made some money, and I was faithful. I did the right thing, and the manager said, "Chris, you made us some money. Tell you what, I'll make you a regional." Here's a nice title to put in your resume: a regional. I forget the phrase. You know, regional manager director. Why don't you set up these schools in different little cities? I said, "That's cool." So I went to Waco, and let's see. I don't know if I went to Jasper, I went to Austin and San Antonio and Beaumont. And I'd go into a town, rent a hotel room, go in the newspaper, hire people, get a real estate hiring office. Yeah, and I'd set up these little schools. Got some government grants. That was kind of fun. I'd go out for 3 or 4 days a week and set up these schools, hire people, and kind of like setting up churches. I was a little apostle guy going around. And it was fun. And I really enjoyed it. It was an adventure to me to go into a town and just drive in and get a motel room and start this little business. Y'all heard of IT&T. It was with IT&T. And that was with Control Data. I'm sorry. Then they finally gave me my own school in Houston, and I was finally managing my own school. I had 4 employees and about 30 students. We did the touchscreen thing and kept getting good grants, kept getting reward government grants to get people out of this was, JTPA money out of the Reagan administration to get people out of the old CETA program. So we would kept it. Well, finally, IT&T came through town looking for a manager, and I went and interviewed for the job, and because I'd done so well and was faithful, I got promoted to where I now ran a school with 31 employees and 250 students. And I was running an IT&T downtown Houston training center. So here I am, wearing a suit, flying up to Indiana, you know, dealing with the corporate, dealing with these government grants, $1.5 million business. And when one day I thought, what am I doing? How did I get into this? You know, I was in the oil business. And what the Lord showed me was it was all training. Amen. I was in school. I had no idea I was going to be a pastor. Amen. I had a little Bible study going. I had no idea. But all of this was school that God was putting me in. And then finally, at one point in 86, late 86, early 87, I ran into this guy named Norman Parrish. Norman, we knew each other for a few years, but it was Norman, and I sat down, I poured my heart out to him, frustrated. And he was Norman, and said, well, brother, I think you need to start a church. You and my pastor did. And so in early 87, we started our church and been pastoring ever since. The reason I went through that little story, I'm trying to tell you something. The reason I did so well in the business world is because I brought in the business world a principle of making my boss a success. Everything I did, I remembered I'm going to be as faithful, a good steward, do 110%. I did it as unto the Lord. And some of my bosses were rank heathens. Okay, there was one young lady was the national, regional thing, and she always wanted to go out drinking. You know, when she'd come to town, let's go to our coffee house. And she was my manager, you know. And but they promoted because they saw an attitude of faithfulness in the little, and they promoted. You understand this? This is the key. These principles work wherever you... And so, how about relationships? How many of y'all would like to have greater anointing and authority in relationships? Amen. Look at Matthew 7. Is this helpful?
Yes.
The key is obedience in an area brings authority in a realm. God wants to expand and increase our authority jurisdiction. You know, well, we could, I believe that God wants you in your way. You live. How many of y'all live in somewhere other than Arkansas? Okay? In your state, in your city, how many people are in the heavenlies, sons and daughters of God, sitting in heavenly places, raining down intercession and taking authority against evil over that area? A couple of y'all. Some of us know, are we really doing it? Well, that's what God wants you.
Amen.
You know what our commission is? It's real simple. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our commission. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, we're seated within the heavenly places. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Philippians 3 says we're citizens of heaven. So just live where you are. Right? And whatever you bind on earth shall be what's been bound in heaven. So, and I know one thing, it's real simple. Look around in heaven. By faith. All right? Look around. And then look around on earth. Is there anything different? Right? You look around on earth, there's a cancer. Is there any of that in heaven? Right? There's evil and wickedness. Is any of that in heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what? On earth as... And you're seated in heavenly. So all you got to do, bind on earth what's been done in heaven. You can say, wait a minute. This is a real simple way to pray for the sick. Let me tell you. This is so simple. The simpler it is, the easier people are going to do it. I tell you, if you walk up to someone who's got a tumor or is sick or they're in a wheelchair or whatever, this is real simple. Go up to them. Will you be my victim here? Let's see. You have a broken leg now?
Yes.
Right. Oh, man. I'll pray for the little old man. Let me pray for the little old man. I was going to use you as a guinea pig. Have a seat. Oh, don't step in your glasses. We'll pray for you. Well, let's pray now. You know, this is the way you pray. This is the way you pray. You ready? Father, this is your idea. Isn't that a good way to pray?
Yeah.
Wasn't it his idea?
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are there any broken legs in heaven?
No.
Okay, Father, we just pray your kingdom come here on earth.
Amen.
As it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray you'll loose healing to this leg here in Jesus' name, because we know it's all been done in heaven. That's all been made right. And we can bind down here what we know. Guess what? There's no demons in heaven. Do you know that? Okay, so we can bind the powers of darkness here. Amen?
Amen.
That's the principle. Is that simple? You know, I found the simpler you make it, the more likely people are going to do it. Now go and train people to do that. Amen? Some of this gets so complicated. Well, when you pray for the sick, you know, you need to... Here's a list. Say, Father, it's your idea. Look at Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. But with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And what measure you meet, you'll be measured to you again. Now that's the negative side. Flip over to chapter 5, verse 7. The positive side. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll obtain mercy. Now, we just saw, to the degree on the negative side, you refuse to judge and resent, and on the positive side, you extend gracious mercy, God will bless you with incredible relationships. That's all there is to it. On the negative side, you refuse to judge and resent, recognize what I meet out is going to come back. But on the positive side, I give mercy, then God will bless you with incredible relationships. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sits closer than a brother. As you love, guess what? It's going to come back to you. Amen. The sickness of self-pity is somebody wondering why everybody doesn't love them. Poor me, nobody loves me. You know, and you can be the most whatever person, but until you love, people aren't going to love you. That's just the way life works. When you give, it's given unto you. When you get out of yourself and you do something, guess what? A man that has friends and shows himself friendly. Frankly, you ready? All relationship problems have their source in you, not the other. I'm not saying other people don't have problems. I'm saying the problem on your side has a source in you because Christ has given us the ability to love our enemy, to bless as it curses, to pray for those that despitefully abuse and abuse. So they say, well, yeah, but this person is an abuser and he uses me. Well, that's your problem, not his, because Christ has given you the ability to bless those that curse you and pray for those that despitefully use you and abuse you. Can't handle them. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? It's really all about being faithful in the little. Being faithful with the truth and taking the problem. You ready? The gritty sand of that relationship will either be a constant irritation or you'll learn the spiritual principles and that gritty sand will turn into a pearl. Amen. World's your oyster. You know, you get a gritty sand and what does the oyster do? You know, most of us, if we were oysters, we'd spit it out. Thank you. I want a smooth... No, the gritty sand, I don't know what happened. It secretes something to take the grit away, the hurt, our agitation, and it becomes a pearl. And God allows gritty... Anybody got any gritty, irritating sand in your life? You're laughing. I don't understand why you're laughing. Somebody that just really rubs you, the iron sharpening... Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody that puts you on your knees and praying and say, oh God, I can't. I can't love them. Lord, will you bless them with a brick? Come on. We call those gifts. They have big red bows. They're from God to you. And some people run from those. They spend their whole life running from gift after gift, spitting sand out, you know. At the end of their life, they find out Jesus was in every one of them. Whatever you do, the least of these you do to me. The Lord says, I was that. I was trying to get you to grow up. How can you overcome until you got something to overcome? All right, we're going to bring this plane to a close here. How about finances? How many would like to move an anointed authority and blessing in finances, even though I address this? 2 Corinthians 9:6. Again, I'm talking about the principle of being faithful in the little, faithful in what you have. In spite of imbalances, and there's a lot of imbalances with finances, and it disgusts me, the greed and the... And I cannot stomach Christian television. I'm sorry. Some of y'all can, but you got to wade through so much sewage to find a piece of something. You know, just that bleh. I can't stomach most of Christian media. You know, you'll have you open Christian magazine and have some conference, and there's a big picture of one guy. Okay, and then he's the big speaker. And then the littler, and I always like to look at the little boxes of the little guys. You know, well, why are their little boxes smaller than the big guys? You know what I'm saying? Because they're lesser, see? He's the big cheese. I was thinking, but they're the ones... You know, I'd like to have a conference sometime, and the big box would be a pastor from Pascagoula, Mississippi, who passes a church of 28!
Yeah.
You know, and he has a divine revelation in dying to self. And we'll have breakout sessions on fasting and humbling yourself.
Yes.
Amen? Amen. And then they'll have the little boxes. Oh, you know, Benny Hinn will be there. And, you know. Wouldn't that, doesn't that sound like the kingdom?
Yeah.
That's how it's going to be in heaven. I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
You know who's going to be in the front of the line?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even going to be able to see the front of the line. Yeah. But you know, it's going to be some little old mama somewhere.
Somebody.
That had never done nothing from that. Nobody knows her from whatever. But she was the most loving. Am I right? Okay, it's all going to be the other way around when we get over there. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But I say, he which sows sparingly will reap sparingly. But he which sows bountifully will reap also bountifully. You know what? In spite of balance, it's the truth. Ask the Lord, you ready for opportunities to be radically generous? Ready? Without letting the left hand know what the right is. Don't publish a newsletter about your radical generosity. Matthew 5, Jesus said, you know, don't be blow a trumpet when you do it. Y'all ever heard of the book? One of my favorite books was called Magnificent Obsession. Surely you've heard of the book Magnificent. Was that Lloyd C. Douglas wrote that? Man, it was a movie. But the movie, forget the movie. They pulled the Christianity out of it. Magnificent Obsession. It's an old. Let me tell you something. You got to get this book. It's a great novel. Magnificent Obsession. I think by Lloyd C. Douglas. If I'm not mistaken, same guy that wrote The Rope. Do you know what the magnificent obsession was in the book? It was to give abundantly, drastically, and radically, and never let anybody know. That's the magnificent, a wonderful book. It is really, it will, you read that book, and it basically the core of the book is that scripture. It gets in your spirit. You go, wow, what a revelation. You actually give cheerfully. You say, wow, there's a secret in the kingdom that you don't let your left hand know what your right hand. And you let your generosity be done in secret, that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen. Get the book. Check it out. It's an old one. You have to go to half.com. Buy it. How about deliverance? How many of y'all would like an anointing and a blessing and authority and deliverance? Isaiah 14. Just one or two more verses here. We're going to be done early. So I'm laying out the principle this morning as we turn to that. Again, obedience in the area equates to authority in a realm. We saw that there are these fundamental principles in Luke 16, faithfulness in little, amen? Faithfulness with another man. And I laid out examples in the scripture. You saw how in David's life, we saw it with Elisha and the king, as they were faithful with the little. There was much. And now we're looking at applied in different areas of our life. We looked at example in your job, in your position of employment, whatever you are, you be a good steward. You're faithful with the little. You know, this is Psalm 75, promotion comes neither from the east or the west or the south, but God lifts up one and puts up. Promotion comes from the Lord. You know, and quit looking to men. Look to the Lord. The Lord is the sovereign judge. You know, one way I really love to pray, that recently we had a lady in our church that her daughter had married this gentleman that's into Santeria, witchcraft, weird. They cut a chicken and put the blood around the house. And this daughter married this gentleman, and they had a couple of kids. And very dysfunctional family, drug use, there's prostitution in the house, all kind of mess. And this gentleman's sister. And the daughter basically forsook the kids. Well, the mother of the daughter goes to our church. So she got these two children. And then we face the state because we want to get the kids out of there. I mean, we're talking witchcraft, drug use, child abuse, and she brings the kids to church. You can see it on the kids. You know, they love being at our church. It's just, how old are those kids, Bo? What? One and two? And you can, it's just, they come in and we pray for them. You can see that they begin to radiate because there's people loving on them. So we began to fight the gargantuan state of Texas and child custody. And do you know what demon you're talking about there? And so one night, and this lady and her husband works for Exxon, so God's blessed and they've got funds and everything. But she came and she was facing, they were going to a series of court things and fighting relatives who were sending death threats and all this stuff going on. Well, finally she came a few weeks ago. She said, we've got the court date this week. Now stand for the judge and, you know, it doesn't look good because of family. So, well, I went over there, laid hands on her, and I said, we're going to do something, guys. We're going to go to the Supreme Court. I'm not talking about Justice Ginsburg and Thomas. I'm talking about the Supreme. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So we went, I put my hand out and said, Father, we come all the way up to the Supreme hot dog, head honcho judge, God.
Yes.
We said, now we're seated with you in heavenly places, and we can have whatever we ask, right? So we said, Father, since we're up there, we can kind of look like this. You know? Father, we ask you, there's all these other judges and jurisdictions and authority situations we're dealing with, but we're looking down at them from the heavenlies, and we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know it's your will in heaven these children be blessed. Because you said, better that a millstone be tossed around your neck than you hurt one of these little ones. So we appeal to you in the name of the Lord. Amen? And we prayed, and I knew, guess what? Sure enough, no. It'll begin to work out. They got the custody. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It works. This stuff works. We just, a body of us went before the Lord. We made petition. You think God's going to not come through in a deal like that? And if he hadn't come through right then, it was just a challenge to fight more. I have no doubt of the Lord's faithfulness when we understand how to pray. The jurisdiction we have and to go before the Father in heaven and ask him. I'm telling you, we have access to the mighty judge. We don't have to be afraid of the rulers of this plane. We can go to the high court and appeal press all the way up and execute. Psalm 149 says that. Let the high praise of the God be in the mouth of a two-edged sword in the hand to execute judgment upon the heathen. Amen? And bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron. For this honor have all his saints.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that's our honor to bind, to get up there in the heavenlies and look down at Lucifer. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Ephesians 1 says, we're seated, and it says all the principalities and powers are under his feet, and Christ the head of the heavens. We look down. Don't fight demons like this. Fight them like this. In Jesus' name. Crush them under your feet.
Amen.
Quit being intimidated. We forget who we are in the kingdom. Okay, so then we looked at the principles of in relationships, in your finances, and now we're going to look at deliverance. Isaiah 14:1. How would you like to have a greater anointing authority in spiritual warfare and deliverance? Isaiah 14:1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers will be joined with them, and they will cleave to the house of Jacob. Isaiah 14:2. And the people will take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. And here it is. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. Look at verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. You know, God wants you to have authority over the areas that had authority over you.
Amen.
That's basically, you will rule the... You know the irony is? That the very area you struggle with, when you overcome it, that becomes your ministry. Because you have a greater compassion, a greater anointing, a greater perception and discernment with people that struggle similarly. We have a lady in our church that, bless her heart, she had been molested by her dad. She had a bunch of sisters, and they'd all been molested. He was a big old truck driver guy, and he molested her from about age 9 to 14. 9 to 14, 15. And she was the one of all the sisters that finally broke out, ran away. The police came, you know, and they finally... And it basically ended it for the family. Well, she ended up getting saved a couple years later. And stumbled around, went to some churches, and ended up at my church 20-something years ago. In fact, I think I met her in 86, 87. And loved Jesus. I mean, just so in love with the Lord, but just wounded. So we began to pray deliverance sessions for her. How many of y'all know it don't all happen in one session?
Amen.
Particularly if a woman had been molested by her dad probably twice a month for 6 years and had instances when she'd be laying in bed, could hear dad in the other room with the other sisters. Or her emotions towards her mom, who was an incredibly passive Hispanic lady who never did anything. And can you imagine the stuff? Well, we began to minister, and from starting in the late 80s, the next 10 or 15 years. And in the beginning, we'd have a session every other month, a session a month with her, and a tremendous manifestation of spirits coming out. And then it was sort of like, the Lord showed me one time about deliverance. Let me show you an analogy of this. Years ago, he showed me deliverance is like a glass of 7-Up. All right? Let's say you have 7-Up, and you have some ice in a glass, all right? And you pour 7-Up in it. Y'all know what 7-Up is? Do they still sell that stuff? Am I dating myself again? Sprite? Okay, what happens? Immediately all the bubbles start going up. Right? And then after a while, there's no bubbles. But you got ice in there. You know, if you jiggle it, what's going to happen? There's some bubbles up under the ice, and they'll come up. You jiggle it some more. And what the Spirit spoke to me is, initially, there's a lot of deliverance when somebody humbles themselves. But, you know, there's some other stuff in there. There's buried stuff. You understand? There's stuff under a big old thing. And it takes time. That's why, really, the principle in the Scripture is discipleship. You can cast all them demons out. You know what, though? The hidden ones, their goal is to come back and repopulate the whole thing. And if you don't develop a relationship and lay your life down, disciple them, they live a whole new disciplined, overcoming life, they can be redone 7 times worse. Amen. So that's why, frankly, I'm a pastor. It really boils down to that, because I started that casting out demons and realized the only thing that really, the biblical principle is not deliverance, it's the local church and discipleship. So this lady, it got to where, when things jiggled in her life, you understand, she got married and had kids and dynamics with this and that, things would come up. She'd have a dream, and she'd call me. She was one of the most faithful. She's convinced, I need to set up a session. So usually myself, I know Bo's wife, Jean, is one of her best friends. And a lot of times Jean is the one, it'll be Jean and I pray with her. And she'll have a vision or dream, and sure enough, something will come up. But where we are now, 20 years later, about once every 6 months, she still needs prayer. But let me tell you about something. She has Hawkeye anointed discernment in this church. There ain't a woman comes through the door. She's got antennas this long. This woman has awesome discernment. You understand? I mean, I send her the hard cases. Y'all with me? She has dominion over what had dominion over her. She has a passion and anointing and a prowess and an ability in the kingdom. Why? Because she's been delivered, has compassion, and all the. So that's the key of the principle of the kingdom of God. And it's an incentive to get free. Amen? The good news is that God will send to you those with similar desperate needs. God is longing for us to get free. Your deliverance is not just for you. Did you hear that again? Your deliverance is not just for you. That's selfish. It's so that out of your belly will do something other than trickle living waters. You know, splurt living water. What did it say? Burble out living waters. Leak living waters. What does it say? Flow! Living water! Flow out of your innermost being. Last place, Deuteronomy 11:18. Deuteronomy 11:18. We'll close with this. It says here, therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind my words for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach my words to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk, by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Okay, now there's the condition. What does all that speak of? Does that not speak of being absolutely faithful to what the Lord tells you to do? To take His word serious, right? To inscribe it every way you look in your house. I mean, I think He's talking spiritual stuff here. To bequeath it to your kids. In other words, I believe those passages imply to absolutely do this thing seriously. Not passively, pedal to the metal 100% for Jesus. I have a thing I really believe you either need to be hot or cold. But lukewarm, you have no use to the kingdom. And yet most churches are filled with lukewarm. I have an amazing church in that I have 100% tithers. I tell pastors, so how do you do that? It's simple. I run the non-tithers off. Run them off. If you can't be faithful with the unrighteous mammon, who's going to give you the true riches? Amen? Amen. Every pastor ought to have 100% tithers. Just run the non-tithers off. I mean, until they get miserable and they come back and they're faithful. So I think the principle here is hot or cold, matching it for Jesus, okay, a backslid. That's just my philosophy. You know, don't play church. And what's the reward? Look at the awesome reward in verse 21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, here it is, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, I have only recently found this scripture. I've never seen this scripture before. But as the Lord was beginning to impress me more and more that the prayer for the kingdom is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he's saying here, I want you to live that your days on earth are as the days of heaven. In other words, you're bringing down the kingdom. That is the kingdom. What is the kingdom? He says, repent, for the kingdom of what? Heaven is at hand. You know how you get into the kingdom of heaven? You ready? Repent. That's it. Repent. Stop. Turn around 180 degrees. Go back a different way. And it takes regeneration, conversion, absolute born from above to repent. There's no way you can really repent unless God does something in your heart. Sovereign from heaven. None of this, you know, mumbling some little prayer thing because the televangelist said it over the TV. It is a conversion. How many mamas here have babies? Was it difficult? Was it no big deal, like just having your coffee? I think I have a baby today. There was an ordeal. Was there a labor? Was it like an event? Were you screaming at your husband while it was going on? You did this to me. You know what? Why do people think rebirth is so easy? I think it's an event. Now, hey, granted, for some people it may not be pinpoint. I think it's a point where something supernatural happens inside of you and you get a whole new fleshly heart that loves what you hated and hates what you love. That's repentance. And then you walk it out. And our mission on earth is to bring heaven, the kingdom of heaven on earth. And I really believe the way you do it is aggressive exploits of faith. It's no more complicated than that. I was thinking about 2 Timothy 3. The Word of God is inspiration to perfectly furnish the man prepared unto every good work. You got to read in the Scripture about how much there is about works. Works. You know, first three chapters of Revelation to the seven churches. You know what the Lord came back and said? I know your works. I know your work. He didn't say, I know your heart. Faith without works is dead. You know, on Matthew 25, we're going to be judged, guess what? According to our works. Amen. You know, when I was in prison, when I was in need, you know, and you did it not. Internet, how do you say, entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares? I think one day we're going to find out that person we snubbed was some powerful angelic or the Lord Himself. Amen? It's works. And what we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. And the Lord said, when I come back, am I going to find faith? Is anybody out there doing the kingdom? And how do you do the kingdom? It's really complicated. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Right? Offer, minister to the poor. Share the gospel. I really believe I can boil it down to two words. I'll make it real simple. You ready? The two words is this. I'm available. That's all you do. I'm available. Every day when you get up and you get your car, you got to put that on your dashboard saying, I'm available. When you go in anywhere and you go to the store, I'm available, Lord. I'm available. And then say, I'm willing, you know, give me the grace and unction to, and move according to faith. I mean, you know, if you never prayed for a headache, don't go jerking the lady out of the wheelchair unless you get a clear word from God. Amen? God wants from faith to faith, to glory to glory. I believe there's a place when you come, but start where you are. Can I amen? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your principles in the Word. They're eternal and supernatural. And I really believe they're the key to authority. And this is all about authority, Father. Moving in your authority in this world of wounded and hurt and damaged, dysfunctional peoples and families and kids and needs. And your heart grieves and you so, Lord, and we're the way that you reach all this stuff. We're the ones, that's why you've saved us, so we'd be available. And so, Lord, I pray that this Word would just find good soil in our hearts and a good foundation. Where the foundation is cracked, you'd pour divine cement in and seal the foundation of our life. And we'd be faithful with the little that we have, Jesus. Just in every area, just in our finances, in loving people, in serving, in having the guts to tell somebody you need deliverance. That's a demonic thing, and you need to get off that antidepressant drug. You need to quit going to a psychiatrist. Jesus is the answer. Lord, give us the courage to be rejected, to speak the truth in meekness and love. Give us to get out of our box. Lord, that pleases you. You so long to come and back us up with supernatural signs and wonders and angels. If we'll just get out there and bring the kingdom to your people. Everybody said. Let's all stand. I want to close with
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.